One thing I suspect we can all agree upon, whether we are Republican or Democrat or Independents, liberals or conservatives, is that when we see a politician being asked a question and he doesn't give an answer, we're really annoyed. Now, I'm sure that just about everybody in this room has seen this at least once in their life, and probably many more times. And sometimes it's been executed with such deftness and such cleverness and such art that we can't help but be impressed. And other times, well, it's just cringeworthy. But you know what I'm talking about. And the reason I bring this up is I have to confess, when I read this morning's lesson from John, my first thought was, please, Jesus, answer the question. Did you notice what happened? These Greeks came looking for him, and they said, "Sir, may we see Jesus?" And does Jesus respond with a, "Bring him in," or "Tell him to go away," or "Maybe later"? No. He responds with parables. He talks about seeds dying and people hating their life and how people are going to follow him. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not the answer that I'm looking for, that I thought those Greeks would be looking for. You'll recall we've talked about John over the last couple of weeks and how he's a mystic and a poet and can be somewhat abstruse in his writings. Today's lesson takes place after Palm Sunday. And I did not put the lectionary together. It's this week for a reason. Jesus has just healed Lazarus, who's brought him back from the dead. Mary has washed his feet. And they've left Bethany, and they've come into Jerusalem. Jesus is here for the last time. And the word has gotten out about him. People want to know who this man is. And so some Greeks come to look for him. Now, some of you probably know this, others might not. Whenever you see the word Greek in the New Testament, that's code for foreigner, non-Jew. So everybody who was not Jewish, whether they're Parthian or Egyptian or Greek or Roman, was a Greek. That was it. All lumped together. And they want to see Jesus. And Jesus has a revelation. There's a moment of reckoning for him. He realizes that everything is coming to a head. That everything he does is going to be seen, not just by the disciples, not just by the Jews, not just by Israel, but by the whole world. There is no Garden of Gethsemane scene here in the book of John. This is Jesus' moment when he struggles and he has doubts and he wonders about what he's supposed to do. John has taught us that Jesus was fully divine. But he also tells us that Jesus was fully human. Jesus did not have a death wish. Jesus did not want to die. He didn't want to be killed by Caesar. But Jesus knew he had work to do. And he had a mission to finish. And he was going to do that. So we still haven't gotten to the fact that Jesus hasn't answered the question. Why does he respond to these visitors with a sermon that's actually rather hard to understand? Well, for us, it's not that difficult to understand because we have the benefits of 2,000 years worth of interpretation and the church studying this passage and picking it apart for us. And some of it would seem pretty obvious. We can all get the image of the seed having to die, go into the ground, and then it's born anew. It grows into a tree. Many more people can see it. We can imagine that's what's going to happen with Jesus. If he had not been crucified and resurrected, who would know about him? So that seems to be somewhat self-explanatory. But what's all this talk about hating one's life, losing one's life? Well, that's where this passage becomes very personal for you and me. And that's why it's so appropriate for us to read on this last Sunday in Lent. This is a good opportunity for us to reflect on where we have been. How has your repentance been going? Have you done it? How about your reflection? Have you thought about anything? How about those disciplines you're supposed to take on? How have you been doing with them? Have you stumbled? Have you gotten lost? Have you ignored them? I don't have a right answer for you. I'm not going to tell you. You need to raise your hand and say, this is what I've done. I've been perfect. I've been a complete loser. But that question, please answer me, is actually directed at us and not Jesus. This is a moment when we need to ask ourselves whether we're willing to follow the path of Jesus Christ. This is a moment when we need to ask ourselves, are we serious about doing this? And it's not simply an affirmation. We don't simply say, I believe in Jesus, and then we're done and ready to go home and carry on with our lives. This is a question we need to ask ourselves every day with everything we do. And it is hard work. Don't kid yourselves. It's hard work. Passing on the things we enjoy doing, passing on the things that society tells us are important, is not always easy. I could have done something different with my life. I could be making more money. But I decided not to. That doesn't make me a saint. But I decided that this was something worth doing for Jesus. You all, on this very cold morning, could be at home. You could be having a nice leisurely breakfast. You could be reading the paper. But you decided to come here. So in this moment, you've answered, yes, Jesus, I'll follow you. But the question will be asked of you tomorrow, and then on Tuesday, and on Wednesday. And next week, we're going to ask it a lot. We're going to ask you to come to church on Sunday, and then we're going to ask you to come to church on Thursday evening, and then I'm going to ask you to come on the stations of the walk crosswalk on Friday afternoon, and then I'm going to ask you to come to church on Good Friday. I'll let you have Saturday off. But then I'm going to ask you to be in Colburn Park at 6 o'clock in the morning for the sunrise service. And then I hope you'll come back for the 10. Are you willing to do that? God wants to know. God hopes you'll answer yes. And God hopes that you'll come to the forum this afternoon when we talk about immigration. And God hopes that you'll be involved with one of our ministries, helping our neighbors. And God hopes that you will help your neighbor who needs some assistance with some shoveling. Or that you'll work with the kid who's not getting attention and would benefit from a little bit of tender, loving care. There are so many ways that we can say yes to God. And we say this in the church all the time, but I really want you to think about it. This is a day to contemplate the cross. Now, in Protestant churches, our cross is bare. Right? I'm sure some of you have been in a Catholic church, whether here in the States or maybe in a cathedral in Europe. But on their crosses, there is a crucified Jesus. We focus on the message of the resurrection in our church. But in Catholic churches, there's that reminder of the resurrection, of the sacrifice that God made for you and me. That's a pretty big deal. And I hope that we will find it in our hearts and in our souls to respond to that love and to that grace and to that generosity. Jesus actually answers the question that the Greeks posed, just not in the way they expected. You recall that at the end of the reading, we were told about Jesus' death and how it was a sign for the future. Jesus came out to see all of the Greeks and all of the world at the time of his crucifixion. Jesus' love is for everybody. There are no exceptions. There are no questions. There are no asterisks. It's for everybody. You and I have the opportunity to experience and to share that love. You and I have the opportunity to answer the question, to say yes to Jesus.